Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, where we reimagine and redefine sales in a digital world. In this new series, we have absolutely scoured the world to bring you only the best of the very best. We will be working with each of the thought leaders to unpack all of their years of experience, their pearls of wisdom, and nuggets of gold into bite-sized chunks that will enable you to redefine your sales. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast. This week, we have got two very, very special people on the podcast. We have got Leah Harley and Claire Howard from the Sales Redefined team. And the three of us have a hell of a lot of fun in this episode. There is definitely some banter going on as we're kind of all losing our marbles towards the end of the year. And what we're going to do is we're going to take you through eight different trends that we are seeing for 2023 that are going to help you to drive revenue growth and to increase your sales in the year ahead. So make sure you've got a pad and a pen at the ready. Now, before we dive straight into that episode, I really quickly want to share with you, if you have not seen or heard, we have just as a team launched our new membership model called Rev Up. What we are doing is we are bringing together revenue generating teams to learn together from the best in the business. We are looking at how we break down the silos between different teams, different individuals, bring everyone together to get them onto the same page to come and hit your goals and drive revenue growth in 2023. You're going to hear about it in the episode that what we are seeing in terms of the future of sales is bringing together teams as rev ops and revenue generating teams. And so we really are jumping on this bandwagon to make sure that we've got the right community and enablement available to support that change in our business model. So if you want to check out Rev Up, I've put the link in the show notes. We have got incredible speakers lined up, from Julie Masters, who specializes in influence, Maz Farrelly, who specializes in epic storytelling, standing out from the crowd. She's had 8 billion views of her content, and not just views, but inspires people to engage and into action. We've got Sue Langley, who specializes in neuroscience, emotional intelligence, and positive psychology, and myself, of course. And we've got more experts to be announced. So we will have a monthly masterclass where your revenue generating teams can learn together. And then they go into their own private breakout room to discuss and brainstorm how can they go and apply it back to your business. So really, really highly practical so that you can execute and you can put it into action. So we start on the 1st of February. So doors are closing end of January. There is currently an early bird available. So get in quick to check that out. And we cannot wait to have you on board. So back to 2023 trends, I will now be introducing Leah and Claire and diving into this week's podcast episode. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast. My name's Abby White. I'm the CEO of Sales Redefined and host of your Redefining Sales podcast. Today, I've got two amazing, amazing, amazing guests, Leah Harley and Claire Howard from the Sales Redefined team. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello. Long time no see.
Well, we found out when we tracked the stats of our 2022 podcast that the episode with Leah was, I think it was one of the top three. So Leah, you're popular, back by popular.
How embarrassing. I think it's my family. I think I told everyone I was in a podcast and so everyone decided to watch and tune in. So I think that was it.
Well, hello to the Harley family. Claire.
Yes, thank you. Name. Thank you, everyone.
So I will preface this with I have royally stitched up the ladies. We are coming to you raw and real. We decided, I think yesterday, I popped it in everyone's diaries and said, right, guys, we need to talk about 2023 trends. We thought we were going to have all this time in December to do these things. And it has just been absolutely wild, right down to the wire. So we are just going for it and going to give you what we've got for the 2023 trends. Ready for it, ladies?
It is. A nice little Christmas present for everyone. Little pre-Christmas treat.
Pre-Christmas treat with Sales Redefined.
That's it.
All right. Well, I'll jump in with trend number one. So if you're in your 2023 planning mode, this is what we are seeing working right now. What we're seeing within our clients and within the projects that we're working on, but also the research we've done. So context, I guess, we did a bunch of research to see, okay, what are the likes of Forrester and Gartner and those guys also predicting for what's coming up in the next few years around how we're going to see growth, go-to-market, sales change. And then we've consolidated it as a team into the top eight. So the first one for you is revenue operations models. So this is my absolute obsession right now. I think everyone's going to get sick of me talking about it. So what's really, really interesting for us is we looked at the stats and it was Gartner were predicting that by 2025, 75% of the world's highest growth companies will deploy a revenue operations model, so RevOps. And I think this makes so much sense. And for me, it's a bit of an expansion on Smarketing, which is that, you know, if you are going to grow the business, then everyone has to be singing from the same hymn sheet. We can't have the silo between pre-sales technical and customer experience and sales and marketing and finance and so on. It's kind of got to be the, you know, one team. And I think that this makes so much sense. You know, we're actually changing our go-to-market models at the moment. And we've just brought out a membership called RevUp, where we're looking at exactly this. How do you do revenue enablement? How do you bring together revenue generating teams? We're starting to see more and more chief revenue officers. And I think that this to me just makes so much sense. Ladies, thoughts on revenue operations?
I'll let you take that one, Claire. You're the sales guru in this little triangle here.
Yeah, absolutely. I know in my previous experiences, we worked in a business where every team had different goals, different KPIs, and it didn't make sense necessarily if two out of three teams were kicking goals, but yet the revenue didn't reflect that. So it's now, this is the perfect opportunity, I guess, to get the heads of each of these different departments together and agree on one goal and then work back from there on what piece does each and every person in that team need to do? What should their individual goals be to reach the overall goal? This is the time, right? Off the back of the pandemic, jobs are on the line again in a different way now, especially in that tech IT industry. So you've got to be able to justify in a new way the revenue and the profits. So this is the perfect time to be thinking and especially planning around that for the new year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but I also think from a customer experience perspective, you can have a sales team that's on fire, but if they can't get their quotes and their bids quickly, or they're not getting the support they need when they're raising a ticket for technical support or whatever it is, because there's a disconnect, there's a breakdown in communication, it is going to shine through to the customer. And I think we're so unforgiving these days. So I think it has to be that revenue operations model. So I am kind of like all in favor, front and center, of this transition towards all revenue generating teams coming together. I think it's really, really, really smart business to drive growth and to drive better customer experience. I don't think it's easy. I think there's going to be a lot of change to navigate. Some of the conversations I've been having around this recently have been going through a process of change management. You know, we as humans don't like change. And so suddenly, you know, it is going to be that you see those change in organizations. You've got to break down some walls internally, you've got to improve some communication internally, you've got to realign some KPIs. And so one thing I am finding really interesting, and there's a podcast we recorded that'll be coming out shortly with a lady called Sue Langley from the Langley Group. She specializes in neuroscience, positive psychology, emotional intelligence, and she talks about this very question around how we navigate the change management process to do this, because particularly in large organizations, you know, I'm ex-IBM, in behemoth organizations, it is not easy to do this stuff. So that would probably be my top tip, is consider how you look at it from a change management perspective.
And one of the things I think that does come out of this is by getting the department heads from each division together and talking about this one goal, it also, when we did something similar previously, it gave them the different departments the opportunity to see and to think about things that hadn't been thought about before. As an example, we started asking our client services team from their perspective what was the easiest clients to onboard and to process, and that the processes worked really well and there wasn't too much manual intervention. And they came out with some absolute nuggets that the sales team hadn't considered ever before. So we were like, okay, well, we could easily do that. We didn't understand the actual process behind the scenes. So straight away, there's another, you know, you're getting a tick of approval from other departments and you're getting a buy-in from other departments that they said this process works. It's easy for them. They can do it en masse. There's a volume model there. So then it gives the sales team the opportunity to run with that. So
that's a brilliant point. And I think that everyone can contribute. Like if I look at our team, so for those on the line, are you on the line on the podcast?
Please hold on.
I don't have words left.
Old. On the line.
On the line. It's like, do you remember when the internet used to dial up and you had that?
Yeah.
God. You can tell we're all losing our marbles at this time of year. So those on the line, listening or watching, who are finding us hilarious, I think that it's interesting with our team because we, every Monday when we have our team meeting, every single person can contribute towards the goal. And it doesn't matter whether you're our graphic designer, so Sam, whether you're, you know, one of our assistants, it doesn't matter. Everyone can make a contribution. We don't sit there and go, oh, well, Sam's a graphic designer. She can't contribute towards revenue growth. She absolutely can, and she's a critical part of it. So I really like the ethos. And that brings us quite nicely to number two, Leah.
Which
is marketing, back again, 2 years on the trot. So go for it with
marketing. That's it. Well, it is. It kind of feeds really nicely into that point. And I think, you know, back to marketing at its basic core of, you know, it's the old concept of, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, which is really simple. But I think it really makes sense because, you know, both teams have their own set of skills in terms of sales and marketing and kind of bringing them together in different areas. So, you know, why wouldn't you leverage the skills in order to create a better overall picture, to plan effectively and create a more customer-centric, I guess, experience. Plus, obviously, we want to see more ROI generated and more results. So definitely from the campaigns that we run, we find by bringing them together, we definitely see much better results. And I know I said in our original, my first podcast, I, from being in the marketing team, you know, I am criminal in this, in running a marketing campaign and not bringing in the sales team for their experience or their insights. So running campaigns that had no buy-in from sales and then I got no results out of it because they didn't care, because it wasn't aligned to what their customers are asking for. So I am definitely on the marketing bandwagon these days because I've seen the results that they can generate. So one of the things we're finding works really well is, you know, planning that initial kickoff, whether it's the start of the year, whether it's, you know, at the beginning of your financial year, but getting everyone together in the one room before kind of you're planning out all your actions, so that the next quarters are coming, you know, making sure everyone's on the same page, everyone's aligned with their focus and the outcomes, and getting that really clear from the onset definitely provides a smoother transition. So everyone's on the same page, you know, from beginning to end, not just incrementally campaign by campaign.
I was just gonna say, I think it's actually become a deal breaker for us this year. Like I think that when we first started talking about it, everyone was kind of like, huh? And now I think that it's really interesting that when I'm talking to different companies before we go forward and people say, you know, what are the results, what are the outcomes, and I can talk to, okay, this is what we believe is going to be the outcome based on what you're putting in. This is what we think you're going to get out. But we will actually now in our proposals say, you know, core, I can't remember how we word it because I have no words today, but we basically say, it'll say like, think critical components, critical factors of success. Mm. And we will talk about the availability of both sales and marketing teams to come together. And I actually flag it now and say, like, if you don't think your sales team got bandwidth right now to, yes, we can put it on a plate, we can make it easy because sales, it's, you know, are busy doing customer meetings, proposals, all the things that they should be doing. But if they don't have the bandwidth at all to get involved, then it's not going to work. And we've actually walked away from, this year, we've actually walked away from business where we were told actually the sales team, we cannot get them involved until it's a red hot opportunity right at the end. And we actually went, that's not going to work with how we produce the magic. So I think this marketing, I think more people are starting to see the benefit of it. And I think the proof is in the pudding. The performance, the results that we see is just incredible. We outperform paid advertising by getting the sales team on board.
100%. And I think, I mean, again, looking back to the past, I feel like marketing departments maybe didn't always have a number because I know back when I first started, you know, marketing, we were just creating the pretty things and doing the parties, the events and the brochures and organizing the merch so the sales team have, you know, a fish food pack of things that they can share with their customers. But, you know, as I guess my career progressed, I could see that, you know, management were giving marketing a number. You know, you need to start reporting, you need to show results, like what happened after the trade show. So now I guess because both teams have that sort of focus on revenue, they both have a really integral part in playing, you know, in that customer journey. And I think it's probably pushed marketing a little bit more, not to say that there's sides and like one's better than the other, but it's probably, I feel like it's made marketing a little bit more aware of the insights that sales can bring and a bit more proactive, hopefully, in kind of asking that in order to prepare campaigns.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as big a target as it is now. And it's a good thing.
I think that's really important for this year as we're sort of, you know, we're talking about 2023 planning. There's talk of recession. There's talk of economic, you know, sort of challenges this year, let's go with. And so I think that therefore you've got to be more accountable in terms of attribution of, okay, I spend a dollar, what am I getting back out of that? And I think it has always, just to sort of level the playing field, I think it's always been both sides of the fence. You know, I think I'm now doing this in business as full karma, because I used to call marketing sales prevention. And I've now come full karma that I now sit both sides of the fence and I see both sides of the fence. I think sales are just as bad because they have historically, you know, we've not followed up on the campaigns. We've not got behind them. We've not leveraged them. We've not nurtured them. So I definitely see now in the seat that I sit in, it's both sides coming together. But I think that you can't have that disconnect because then you've got a leaky funnel.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is there anything from you on that?
I think back to sort of what Leah said, marketing have got it tough because it's a lot harder to put an outcome against it, you know, solely. Yeah. And I think that maybe will always be the case. You know, there's all sorts of analytics that can do a lot of to help put the case forward. But I think, again, it goes back to that revenue piece again, that if all the teams have got the same goal and sales, instead of deflecting marketing, if they work together, then it will become better and easier for everybody. So marketing should be seen there to assist the sales team rather than hinder.
And whether we like to admit it or not, like they need it, we need each other. Well, they need each other to succeed. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, what's the point in fighting? Don't fight it. Just love each other and work together for the revenue.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on that, if we're doing practical top tips, and I've just realised we missed it for number one, but if we're doing practical top tips for kind of number one and two, it's kind of the same, which is what Leah talked about, which is can you have, as you start 2023, like a planning session, a brainstorming session? The questions we typically asked are, what are you seeing working right now? What is not working right now? Where are you winning? Where are you losing? What objections are you getting? What questions are you being asked the most? Having that sort of planning session. So for the first one for RevOps, that could be literally across pre-sales, customer experience, customer service, could be everything. Whereas the second one that Leah taught you, just sales and marketing, it'd be more specific there. You know, what are you seeing getting results right now? Asking those sort of questions, doing planning sessions together. Because I would say one of the number one things we see that is the red flag and we go, no, run, is when people want to drive the bus in different directions. One of them wants to build a campaign for retail and the other one wants to build a campaign for education. So I think that alignment day one in terms of where's the North Star and doing some shape or form of planning session as you kick off the new year, is that what we're leaving people with as our sort of practical takeaway to do?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's just talk to each other, really, isn't it? It's all about communication and its base level.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I think the stats we shared last time, so like 1/3 of sales and marketing teams don't communicate regularly. So, yeah.
And also, not to go a little bit too far off topic, but it does all relate back, is that it doesn't just have to be sales with marketing. You know, if one of the things that we did a few years ago, obviously with Abby's assistance, was, and you just mentioned it just there, was what are the top questions that you're being asked by your clients? Now, that wasn't necessarily a sales thing. That was more about pre-sales, or that was, you know, the client services team for after sales. What were the top 10 questions that you were being asked? And then from that, marketing put together all these beautiful campaigns that were going out through on the socials, and they were like, oh, this is great, because now we're not continually being asked those same questions and we're educating the audience.
Yeah.
So we're seen as a thought leader, we're seen as knowing our stuff, we're seen to, you know, want to share our knowledge. So it's putting you in a different perspective, you know, to the prospect, which does assist sales, and it was also helping client services at the same time. So marketing can be used for obviously many different, stitching you up here, Leah, but it doesn't have to just be the traditional sales and marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you guys want more on that, that was an episode we talked about with Julie Masters. It's one of the very first podcast episodes. So Julie Masters talks about keeping a question bank and like a relentless question radar. So if you want more on that, that's your homework for that one. So I'm going to move us through to number three. So Claire, customer expansion is the next thing that we're talking to for 2023 trends. Talk to us.
Yeah, so I guess one of the, I think the biggest sighs of relief I heard in the sales team meeting was when people told us to focus on our existing accounts and grow those and don't necessarily spend all our time doing the cold calls. And everyone was like, what? That's easy. I can ring them. They're, I speak to them all the time. They ring me. We've got a good relationship. So that was a big sigh of relief. And I guess this is now about cross-selling, but from the marketing perspective. So whether it might be your top 10, your top 25 clients, but working out with the sales team who are your top 25 that you want to aim for, and which of those, and what do those clients already know about you? And that's based on assumption. But then what do those clients not know about you, and where are the opportunities? We used to, in my previous business, like it used to be like a something that we would laugh about, but there was an element of shame where we would talk to a client for sort of 3 or 4 years, and then they would ring us and say, oh, I was down the pub the other day and someone said to me that you guys also do this. And we'd be like,
no brainer. Like, really?
have I never spoke to you about that? And I'd be like, you know, I'm sure I did. But as we all know, you've got to talk to somebody about something at least 7 times, maybe 14 if they're under 18. So we definitely know that. Put your shoes on was said at least 15 times this morning in my house.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
My husband. So, but no, I think it's all about, defining who are the ideal clients, and then what are the opportunities that we haven't spoken to them about, and then obviously with marketing, what are the other ways that we can get that message across to them about our other services, or how can we grow with those particular clients. It's so much easier to grow with your existing than it is to start with a brand new client. That there's so many, as we know, there's so many more decision makers these days than stakeholders. Whereas the ones that know, they know your name, they know the business name, it's all familiar, they kind of understand how it all works. It's so much easier to upsell to them.
Yeah.
And because it takes, I think.
You go, Leah.
Oh, no, I was going to say, just because we know it takes those 15 touch points kind of for conversion. So, again, it's not even just doing the hard sell. It's like just planting the seed, I think, on those regular communications with your current accounts. It's just, you know, just feeding it and kind of fish food, like slowly dropping it in, because obviously, as you said, they didn't remember until there's a need. So making sure that then you're front of mind when they know that there's something that's, you know, you need X. Oh, that's exactly right. Claire was talking to me about that 15 times ago. So, you know, it comes to mind.
Yeah. I think a couple of points to add on this from my lens is, one is, you know, I think it's always, we've always talked about customer expansion, grow your existing customers. That's not new for 2023. I think what's new for 2023 is there is the talk of, is it going to be recession? Is it going to be a tough economy next year? And therefore, I think the trend is more towards people doubling down on existing clients and retention, because if we're going to have a tough year, then you cannot afford to lose your existing customers, because that year will be even tougher if you then lose your install base. And as we know, most companies have got quite heavy dependency on a couple accounts, right? And so then you cannot afford to lose them, because your year is then going to be 10 times harder. So I think that that's partially why this is made a feature in for 2023, is because, you know, just really make sure, batten down the hatches for your existing customer base. And go for that low-hanging fruit on a year that could be challenging. I think the other thing that I was just going to point out is there's been a massive increase in popularity of account-based marketing, account-based sales, call it what you like. And I think, you know, for me, that's always been the case since I started in sales. It's just got a new cool name to it and more of an aligned approach, because you never historically did it. You do your account plan, but you wouldn't necessarily do it with marketing and a company that's marketing. Yeah. The stat that we put in one of our downloads, so we'll share with you guys at the end, our download, there's a 70% increase in the number of opportunities created by adopting an account-based marketing approach and program. So I think it's kind of having more intention behind the customer expansion, because we all know we should bloody do it, but it's more of a structured program, more intentional, more collaboration with sales to batten down the hatches this year. Any other thoughts on that before we move to the next one?
No.
I
think we're covered.
So next one is with, so number four, we're up. Oh, sorry, we're supposed to be doing practical tips. See, you can tell I need to keep drinking my coffee. For anyone who's watching on video, I'm slurping away the coffee to try and keep up with the program today. So practical tip on that one. I think it's back to what Claire said. I think Claire called it, which is identifying your top 25 accounts. And then starting to look there at if there's one more thing you could do to help each one of them, what would it be? Just one. And like you said, maybe they put you in a box that you do X and they've completely forgotten that you do Y. And there's potentially a bit of a re-education program there to educate them as to the other things that you could be doing. So I think that's our practical takeaway.
I think, and two lazy salespeople tips I've got here, I think that go with
that's a new lead magnet all in itself.
I'm all about the lazy tips.
That's a podcast. The lazy salesperson. Let's do that.
Oh, dear. So the first one is obviously an existing account. You can get marketing to assist you in a whole new level because they don't need all of that relationship as much. Not saying at all, but they don't need it as much as a potential new client does. So marketing is the perfect person to be drip feeding all these ideas to them. And now I've forgotten my second lazy tip, but it will probably come back to me. Oh, I guess it was, the tip was more around when you have, like we've recommended to have this session at the beginning of the year where you work out the business goal and how each of the departments, this is the right time as well to get together and work out that top 25 ABM.
Yeah, so you've got a full focus for the full 12 months.
I like that. Yep, I like that. Okay, number four, the end of the sales profession. Is it here? Dun, dun, is it not? Claire?
Well, me talking about lazy sales tips probably isn't going to help. But no, I guess, look, it's all about it's working smarter and not harder, right? I think sales can have that reputation to be the car salesman type image, car salesperson image that we don't want to think about. But as things have evolved, I think now we all know that we're not necessarily looking for the brand, we're looking for the person behind the brand. You know, if you look as the old example, Richard Branson has so many more followers than Virgin because it's all about humanizing and the personalities. And salespeople come in lots of different forms these days. You know, like it's not the cheesy jazz hands that it used to be. And that's good. That's fine because we're all different people. So it's just a learning about what are different people's strengths and how that can work with certain clients. I know we used to actually like look at our different clients and what the personality traits were and what worked for one, i.e. one might be really data driven, somebody else might be all about the service. So it was just, you know, you're creating these kind of avatars and then we would be able to sell accordingly. So no, it's not the end of the sales person per se. It's just about accepting and enjoying the fact that you've got now marketing to assist you with that. There are not enough hours in the day to get your KPIs done and have 14 touch points with a prospect. Like that's just it's not realistic. You cannot pick up the phone. You're just really annoying if you do that. You're definitely not lazy. You're annoying. So, so how can marketing assist you to, like I said, just to be drip feeding the idea of, oh yeah, that person from so-and-so, I must ring them back next week. I need to speak to someone. I've got to ask them a question about something. So to be seen as, I guess, as a bit, you've got to build your brand yourself a little bit more, whether it be on LinkedIn. You've got to be giving people a piece of education and some value to stand out from everybody else. And then in the background, marketing can be doing all these other smart little things to keep that message going and to keep emphasizing you so that when the time is right, that they're ready.
I think that for me, it's not the end of the sales profession. It's the evolution of the sales profession. So I think in addition to the points that you rightly made, I think that so the one evolution you just talked about, which I completely wholeheartedly agree with, is that it's starting to build your personal brand as a sales professional. You know, content shared by individuals gets 8 times more traction. So we used to just go, oh, well, marketing or post on LinkedIn. No, now you posting on LinkedIn is actually part of the job role. And some people are starting to set KPIs towards that. So I think we have to step it up a gear to what we've historically done. I think the other two evolutions, one is the latest stats are showing 44% of millennials want a seller-free experience. And so it's kind of looking at, okay, the future sales leaders are leaders of sales, not leaders of sales people. So that will be all sales channels, with one biggie being e-commerce. So I think we're going to start to see more of sales not just be done and negotiated through the salesperson, but some of them even go completely
touchless.
I said to the girls, I'm like, we are not re-recording this. We are going.
She's so not recommended touch people. Yeah, there's no touch involved.
No, there's no touch involved. There's actually none, because it's 44% seller-free experience. So zero touch. And on this note, actually, I'm going to sidetrack for a second, then I will pull it back to e-commerce. The latest research is actually showing that people want humans, exactly what we're talking about here. We haven't stopped and re-recorded. We've rolled with it. We've gone with it. Maybe it's because we're the lazy salespeople. But it's also that people want that. Julie Masters calls it grippingly human. And L'Oreal did an experiment with this where they had the perfect L'Oreal video and then they had the intern in the cupboard with an iPhone. And the intern with the iPhone, you know, that's why we've watched Big Brother. That's why we've watched all this stuff. We want human. So I think that how I'm drawing that back is with the evolution of the sales professional of you have to post on LinkedIn, you have to share, you have to build your personal brand. I think it's exactly what we're doing now. It does not have to be perfect. Don't wait for it to be perfect. Roll with it. Coming back on track then on e-commerce, I think that people, all businesses need to start to look at e-commerce. An interesting one for me, I was looking the other day at IBM and some of what they're doing on their channels. And I looked at it and I stopped and I had a moment, because obviously I'm ex-IBM, and I was like, God, 10 years ago when I was doing sales, we would have sat there and gone, there is no way ever that that would be done online. That pricing would be online. You could configure it and self-serve online. Like, no way. And I think we've got to look at what's happening in shops with the likes of Amazon Go, where you can walk in the US and the UK now, actually, in and out of a shop completely without going to the kiosk, without checking out. Woolworths are just starting to introduce it here, and you can just literally go. That from B2C is starting to come into B2B. So I think that the conversation around the end of the sales professional has to come back to how we're going to have that multi-channel approach and collaborate with those other channels rather than fight against it.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful, but that's what I think. Leah, any advances on that?
No, I agree. And I was just pulling back to your point about the sales team. I think you were saying, you know, it's about being authentic. So I think we're saying, you know, authenticity is going to rule over, you know, just regurgitated, just, you know, liking is not enough. You've got to, you know, reshare, you've got to add your own personality. And I think for sales teams, realizing the likes of LinkedIn and doing those sorts of posts is a new part of their sales toolkit. So, you know, it's not just, you know, as you said, like marketing, you're just going to post it and I'll just hit like, and then like I've ticked my box, but it's really making sure they're using it to leverage in order to kind of build out those multi-channels. But
I just found a stat for us before, Claire, I'm going to come to you for a practical top tip takeaway. I'm giving you a heads up of 5 seconds. So stat for you, B2B procurement organizations forecast that 59% of their annual B2B purchases will be through websites and other online channels by the end of 2023. That's in the next 12 months, 59%. That's massive.
Yeah, that's huge.
That just makes, you know, sales professionals rare, really rare and unusual, exotic creatures.
I think it's more getting on board. For me, it's more getting on board with digital. It's rather than I don't see it being yes, in some areas of online shopping, you know, I don't need to phone and place my order. But in the B2B land that we're talking to and we're operating through, I think it's going, okay, I might nurture a relationship. I might have an ongoing relationship with them, but they might then physically place the order online because it's easier for them to self-serve when it is convenient and suits them. So I think it's being able to, I'll give you it's not a great example, but I'll give you an example. I've been speaking to someone about something that I want to order at the moment. I won't say it out loud because it's a Christmas present for someone, and just in case the rare occasion my other half listens to my podcast. He's like, I listen to my podcast. I was like, my podcast? And he's like, no, not your podcast. I was like, okay. I've been talking to someone about it, and then I'm like, okay, cool, yeah, I'm going to go for that and I'm going to order it. And so I want to order it when it suits me at 10 o'clock at night, when I finally can think and do it. But the website that I'm talking to, you can actually put in, okay, my contact is Bob, so that it still gets allocated to that person. Or in the end, you can associate, okay, any orders against this still go to that person. Anyway, we're going way off track. So top tip for us, Claire, before we move on from end of sales profession.
My top tip, I hope it's not too controversial, but my top tip would be to introduce a LinkedIn KPI.
I like it.
The reason I would do that is obviously to build the brand, but also I feel like if there is something that you are going to reshare personally, you need to buy into it as a sales professional. So you need to like it. It can't just be something generic that you're not personally behind. And it will encourage that communication and that feedback and that better relationship with marketing. So, yeah, if you've got a KPI, whether it be one or two posts a week on LinkedIn, we don't want it to be, you know, it's all about the quality over quantity. You need to be adding value and educating. And therefore, if you don't feel that you've already got that collateral, then you need to be speaking with your marketing team to say, I've got these ideas. Can you help me put something together? Because I've now got this KPI. So hopefully it creates that cross team.
I think that's going to start to happen this year. I've had conversations with people along these lines. Leah, I know you've had conversations along these lines.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's starting to happen, that one. All right. My bonus one is look at e-commerce. Even if you think this can't be done in our area, look at e-commerce, because I think our thinking is being challenged on that one. Next one, number five, is big data. Why we're going with this on data is more the evolution towards data-driven sales rather than just what we've always historically done, which is the intuition-based sales. I kind of like this one. The stat for you, fun fact if you like your stats, Gartner predicts 65% of B2B sales organizations will transition from intuition-based selling to data-driven selling by 2026. So in the next 3 years. I think I'll couple it up with another stat for you, which kind of highlights the challenge. There was a LinkedIn global sales report, and it said that almost half, 46% of sales representatives said their biggest challenge was incomplete data. And I think this one's really, really, really interesting, right? Because I have been the horrible, lazy salesperson who doesn't update the CRM and, you know, is the one getting told off in the naughty corner. And I think this is kind of interesting because if we're talking to, and I know we're going to talk about it a bit more in a minute, if we're talking to, we need to have that epic customer experience, we need to have that single view of the customer, we want to make a call and someone knows our history with them, they kind of know where we're at. You can only do all of that if all of the data is there. You can only have the hyper-personalized marketing and ABM account-based marketing approach we just talked to if all of the data is there. So I think it's kind of now become a non-negotiable that you have to be inputting the right data. You've got to be making it easy for people because you also look at sales and you look at where are salespeople spending their time. And there's a huge proportion of quite expensive sales resource time being spent doing admin. So looking at the CRM that you're using, do all your team have the app? Can you make it easy? Can it be automated? Can we leverage AI? I think that's where it's at. So it's how do you make it easy for your salespeople and efficient to do the updates to make sure that the data is there so that then you can use that data when you're doing your account-based marketing plan that we just talked to earlier, when you're doing your top 25, because you've got the data there, when you're having an epic experience. So this one, I think, is kind of going to become a non-negotiable. And I think there's no point batting people around the head saying you've got to put in the data. Like, I tried that as a sales manager. It wasn't the most effective.
It doesn't work.
No, not really. I think you've actually just now got to go, how do I make it easy? And that's where I think is having the right tools and technologies we're going to talk to in a moment, that actually means it's not going to become this massive admin burden, because then that's also going to impact your sales and the proportion of salespeople hitting quota. So yeah, that's where I'm at with data. Thoughts, you guys, around data-driven sales?
I mean, it just makes sense. You need the data in order to prepare, in order to plan. So, you know, having that accurate data is kind of it's like your Bible. You kind of got to make sure it's up to date and it's relevant and it's accurate, so that you can actually have the right baseline to plan when you're doing your 2023 planning or whatever it is. Having all that information is really key. But yeah, I think, I mean, I haven't been in sales, but from the sales, lovely salespeople that I've worked with, oh my God, sales admin. It's like asking them to, like, I don't know. It's just like, can you please put it in? I need it. Like, marketing needs the data. Can you please? So I think, yeah, as you said, I'd be making it as seamless and as easy as possible, and pulling in things like automation is definitely probably a great way forward. Kind of ease that that transition.
So I think that takes us really nicely to the next one with Claire around making friends with tech. Oh, crap. We're supposed to be doing a top tip. Top tip. So top tip on that one, I think it's got to be, how can you make it easy? You need the data to plan for your account-based marketing. You need the data to do everything else we've just talked about. And if it's not, the data is not where it should be at, look at why is it not, and how could I make it easy for people rather than a burden. That's my top tip. Claire, next one is really nicely segued, which is around making friends with tech and that being a theme for 2023. Talk to us.
Yeah, look, I think it goes back to, I guess, the previous point, but also into this one, is that, like, I remember for me, I liked using a CRM. Maybe I was just like unusually anal about things, but this is the reason I used to like using it, is that I'd have a conversation with someone, and in that sales conversation, I would try my best to find out the personal things about them and to build a relationship with them. And there was no way that my tiny brain was going to retain that information about the fact that their nephew went to the same school that I went to 64 years ago. But by using the CRM, obviously you would put in their information, but then I would put in these little key bits of information that, whether it was 4 hours later that day or 4 weeks later, I had a nugget there to go back to them about. So that was why I loved my CRM. It was a really good one. But, you know, I would encourage the team to do that as well, is to use it for your own personal gain. Yes, we've got to put the boring notes in. We all have to do that, you know, the core pieces of data. But then use it to your advantage. And what can you get out of that? And it is these tiny little pieces, these little nuggets, that is the difference between you and somebody else. You know, it's really hard to stand out these days. But those little pieces of information that you actually did type out when you're on the phone or straight after that phone call could make that follow-up so much easier.
That makes sense for, you know, for the business overall, having that data recorded. Say, Claire, you decide, I want to be a yoga instructor and I don't want to do sales anymore and I'm going to leave. The next person coming in to run that account, they're going to have that gold there ready. So it's not, I mean, it is an element of starting from scratch and building their own relationship, but there is that background historic data that they can, you know, read through and absorb and have a little bit of a good overall picture of what that account or that customer is like. So it's
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually IP, you know, it really is. If the business was looking to sell later down the line, there's heaps of information there that they're not going to get from a regular, somebody just filling in a form online. You're not going to get that, but you are going to get it out of a conversation. So,
and I think for me, bring this back to 2023, because again, this conversation has existed since I started in sales, like, over 15 years ago. I think I've been saying 15 years for like past 5 years.
So the dawn of time.
That's right. 20 years. Doesn't matter. I think the difference with 2023 is, because we're going to start to see more digital sales, because we're going to see more e-commerce, I think that whereas before you could almost get away with it because you'd retain the information in your head, they'd call, you'd have a meeting, you'd have a conversation, and you could just go, oh, yeah, I remember this is what happened. Whereas now I think that if you're going to go through e-commerce, you're going to go through digital, data has to be in that one central place. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing as well is that speed. So a couple of fun facts. 71% of customers expect real-time communication from sellers. So we need to be able to have the data in one place, leveraging technology and the tools so that we can do real time. And then what else was I looking at here? 82% of Australian top sales performers do research every time before they reach out to a prospect. And they're using tools and technologies to do the research. So whether it's various prospecting tools, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's the CRM, you know, there's various different technology being used. And I think the final one for me is, like we said, if we've got to have, it's almost like asking the impossible at the moment. If you've got to have an epic customer experience, if you've got to have 15 touch plus points, if you've got to have super speedy response on demand, real time, the only way humanly possible to do that is to leverage technology and tools that have AI and automation. How can we automate? And I think for me on this, the first step is looking at what is the sales process or what is the customer experience process, the customer journey, and then looking at what parts of that can be streamlined and automated so that you are making, you know, AI automation your best friend, your, you know, virtual sales buddy. So that you can deliver the epic customer experience, you can deliver in real time, you can do all of that, and you're not, as a salesperson, working 24/7, and also you're then spending your time, you know, in front of clients doing what you do best. I think that this has always been there, but for 2023, I think it just has to change, because to meet the demands and the speed of today, you can only do it leveraging technology. That's kind of my 2 cents worth on that.
Yeah, it's a similar story to how we've talked about sales and marketing. Like, you need to collaborate now. It's in everybody's best interest to do that. I think, like, my top tip would be at this goal setting day that we've started out as an hours meeting. We've now ambushed it into a day that we recommend. But in this sense, why not have a think about an ideal world? What would an ideal world look like? If you decide that you need more prospects, you need more people through the door, if capacity wasn't an issue, what would it look like? Would it be a video of you, you know, putting your 2 cents, putting your personality forward? And then how can your IT department assist you with that? What can you do to automate that so that you are able to touch more people without touching people? No, touching. Touch points. There's touch points. No, but there's a way that you can personalize your service, get your point across, and stand out. I keep talking about it. It's boring, but you need to be able to stand out. So imagine if someone was browsing on your website and they automatically got some sort of message from you that gave them some sort of value and some sort of education piece, they would want more. And then you find a way that could be so easy for them to get more. And you, while this is all happening, you're none the wiser. You're out, you're doing your coffees, you're sleeping at home, whatever it is. But this beautiful, imaginary, amazing automation, like, what could that be? What could that look like in an ideal world?
I've got a really good example of this that I'll share before we move on to the next one. So I want to make this really highly practical. I want anyone listening on the line. Anyone listening or watching, if you are watching, you're probably having a field day right now, get a really practical example. So airing our dirty laundry, we were having challenges around proposals in that it was taking so long to do proposals. And I am really precious about a proposal should be out really quickly. You know, it should be, because that's the image and the impression that you want to leave people with, is like, wow, these people are quick. So it was killing my soul that we weren't quick enough. And what we started doing was we started using a digital tool. It's called Better Proposals. That's the one we use. I'm sure there's a million out there. And we had a digital proposal, and we could start to build out templates so that when we were asked for a proposal, we had a template there to at least be able to use as a starting point. And we had to go through the painful experience of building the templates, building them out, and so on. But now we've got it all digital. So not only is there a template there that you can do digitally and you can send digitally, you can also now sign on it, return it, and automate the whole process. We've now linked it to our CRM so that then that proposal can now go into our CRM. And so the whole process is streamlined. Now, it's not perfect, but we are getting there, and it's completely reduced the amount of time we're spending on proposals. It's meant we've got better customer experience, better speed, and then we've got better technology and automation behind it to then now start to plug it into our CRM so that we've got the single view. So I think that's a really good example of Sales Redefined, how we've started to leverage technology. And the final thing I'd say on that is I think, and this is just my view, but I think that as Sales Redefined, our brand, our image is that we're talking about the future of sales. If we had a rubbish proposal that you had to sort of print off, scan back, it wouldn't
fax it back.
Talking and reflecting the brand that we want to have. So I think that's also something really, really interesting is your sales process reflecting what I would expect of your brand experience?
Agree.
Claire, you going to add anything to that before we move to the next one?
No, I'll give you my, the top tip around that is think about the sales process from start to finish and what's the sticky bit. And if you could wave a magic wand at that sticky bit and have that conversation with your IT department of how we can automate this and make this better. Just have a brainstorming session. The benefit of that as well is if you do get buy-in and, you know, they create something amazing for you and it's all bells and whistles, then straight away you've got, as a salesperson, another really important reason to get using your CRM properly. So, you know, you know that something works. I need to get as many people into this database so that they get the benefits of that.
Nice. Okay, number seven.
Lucky number seven. So I guess we all see now that customers, you know, they've got such high expectations. We thought they were high before, but I think it's escalated, much higher expectations. You know, they want services to be accessible. They want to be able to get you 24/7. They want, you know, everything to be personalized too. So you can't do that blanket approach anymore. And things have really developed. So I think, you know, everything needs to really be looked at that customer's point of view, which makes real sense, really, as, you know, they're the ones we're targeting for our sales. So by making sure that we're looking through their lens is kind of a real no-brainer. I know, you know, back in the old days, it was just, you know, this is what we're selling. This is why you should like it. This is why you should buy it. But now it's definitely that customer experience lens is really important. So I think, you know, we had some stats here, like brands like Adobe, you know, they're really taking that, you know, down to the wire and hiring chief experience officers to ensure that that's really made a real fundamental part of the business. And it's a real strategy. It's not just a nice to have for, you know, special occasions. It's actually part of the business strategy overall. And I think, you know, we all kind of know it. Again, it's those things of like, of course, we need to think of the customer journey and the customer experience and, you know, what it's like for them when they're experiencing our brand and our sales or our marketing process. But I guess, you know, BAU gets taken up and sometimes we don't take the time to really focus on what that looks like and what that means. So, taking a back step on our special sales day that we're doing for our planning day in 2023, I would say looking at some other ways that you can really customize that customer experience. And I know that we do, you know, those discovery sessions when we're running campaigns and it's digging into those questions about what they're asking, what do they want right now, like what's trending. So getting that overall picture. But then I guess, as you were saying before, Claire, like knowing your customers and knowing exactly that, you know, Bob really likes presents. So, you know, giving him a campaign with a gift, it's kind of like love languages, isn't it? Really? It's kind of understanding your, not that, okay, I've done it. I think people have done it. It's like your old Cosmo quizzes in the magazine. But it's understanding your customer's love language so that you can customize their experience. And then you're going to get the benefits out of it. You're not just a number. All the customers don't feel like just a number.
Yeah.
What do you ladies think?
What I like about this one is that, again, customer experience, we've all talked about it since, you know, the beginning of time. The difference for 2023 is that we're starting to see customer experience officers emerge. And therefore, it's not just a, oh, yeah, we're working on customer experience. It's like a genuine hand in your pocket investment to fund a headcount for a customer experience officer and even customer experience teams. So I think it's kind of a representation of that next level of customer experience. It's not just a nice thing that's a statement on your annual report or your website. It's an actual financial investment, because people are seeing those businesses that are investing in their customer experience are genuinely seeing revenue growth and an ROI on that investment. I don't remember, and maybe this is just me and where my brain's at today, but I don't remember, and tell me if you guys do, ever seeing a customer experience officer before. I don't ever, I've never heard that role.
I am previous company I worked for, we didn't have a customer experience sort of head or role, but we had some of our sales team, their title was customer experience. And so that was kind of targeted as their role, and their number was kind of based on that. So that's the only experience, you know, we were very progressive back in the day. But not in terms of a real lead, like a real focus lead in the business. No.
I still think it's different, right? When people, you've got customer experience in terms of like, whether you want to call it account manager, your customer customer experience, whatever. I think that's different to having someone at a leadership C level who owns responsibility for an epic customer experience. Typically, it's been blurry, because like, do sales own that? Do marketing own that? Do customer service own that? Who owns that? And I think having that role, I think is a step change for 2023.
I think great ways to do that is going back to the data and the analytics, like asking your customers to rate you is an amazing sales tool. Like if you've got a great NPS score, you need to be shouting from the rooftops about it. And that's, you know, easy data. That's somebody clicking some smiley faces at the bottom of an email. That's something that IT, you know, that they can assist with. And on the flip side as well, like having those testimonials and case studies is a great sales tool. Yeah, that's right. You know, if you got to the point where your CRM is being used so well and you could be asking your clients, or you could be inputting on their behalf, like what's important to you? Is it service? Is it price? You know, is it legislation, that type of thing? And then you could have a case study with somebody talking specifically about how great your business has been at that thing. That's amazing. That's a great way to stand out to your prospective clients by sharing a case study. You know, it's evidence. Basically, it's not just, oh, we're really good at it, we've been around for 25 years.
I think a couple... you go, Leah.
No, you go.
I think a couple top tips to test this. I think one is mystery shop yourself. So we did this once in a workshop, and we had recruiters who tried to go on their website and upload a resume and it didn't work. Or we, like, our dirty laundry, just in case anyone thinks we're sitting here thinking we're perfect, we once tested our contact us form and apparently it didn't work. So you can't contact us. Please contact us. It now works. Contact us. So I think mystery shop yourself. And I think it's also then looking at where is the customer experience epic and where does it fall down. And then I think it's documenting it, because little things like a sales redefined, little things that we do, we've always, when we start working with a customer, we'll get like an onboarding gift for them, and we'll do something really personal as an onboarding gift. And then you get busy, and then new people come on board and like, oh, I didn't realize we did that. I didn't realize that was a thing. So it's kind of not losing some of those little touches as you scale and grow, or some people do it in the business, but not other people do it in the business. So I think it's also documenting and formalizing some of the customer experience process, so that whether I've got Leah or Claire or Abby or Bob or whoever it is, there is a consistency to the customer experience and those little things that actually become big things. And my final thing on this is I read this epic book. I'm trying to look at it now to see what it's called.
Of course you did. Another book. Read so much. Oh, gosh.
I haven't read any books yet in this podcast. It's a terrible podcast.
What's happening?
I think it's called The Power of Moment. I'll dig it out in a second. Power of Moment. And what they looked at, a survey of people who talked about epic customer experience. And I'm making this number up, so don't quote me, but it was something like 25% of the epic experiences were actually a negative experience where people flipped it on its head.
Wow. So it turned it around.
But then people went over and above to put it right. And how actually using sometimes what can be the bad customer experience to create the good.
Yeah,
no, that's a good one. And I, you know, thinking not every business is in a position where they're going to get a new CXO to focus on that. So I think, you know, obviously that would be fantastic if there was a real, you know, strategic focus and person in place and a headcount there to drive it. But, you know, as we just mentioned, there's so many small incremental things that you could still implement now to kind of drive towards that customer experience. So I don't think it needs to be like an all or nothing. Obviously that's the way 2023 is heading with those roles popping up more and more in the scope. So yeah, I think it's just don't let it be overwhelming. And I'm sure a lot of businesses are already doing a lot without even knowing it around that customer experience and like pulling the data and kind of doing that personalized focus. So yeah, I guess I would say don't be disheartened and think it's an all or nothing situation. Yeah. Just start small. Just start.
I've got one other example on this one before we move to the next one. I read a really cool study around hospitals and they were trying to improve customer
that
experience.
That sounds amazing, Abby.
This is public.
Yeah, are you reading about hospitals?
Sorry, publicly mocking him.
This is anything to get out of childcare.
Yeah, true. I was just sorry, everyone on the line, but I was like, "What? We reading hospitals? Continue." Sorry.
This is what I do in my spare time. Do you not read case studies about hospitals? No,
no. But I might start. You've inspired me.
Okay, we're going to go back to my thrilling case studies about hospitals. And Claire thought we were going to be formal on this podcast.
Sorry.
My thrilling case study, they tried to improve customer experience in hospitals and they tried all these different fancy things and expensive things and whatever. This is a really good story. And what they ended up doing was nurses, as they were leaving the room, would say, "Leah, is there anything else I can do for you? I've got time. I've got time." That was it. It sent their promoter scores, net promoter scores, ratings, blah, 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 through the roof. That isn't expensive. That is the feeling that you're not being rushed. Someone has got time for you. So even imagine on the end of a customer call, we're not working in a hospital, but in a customer call, just be like, "Hey, before we go, is there anything else I can do to support you? I've got time." Like,
that's a great one.
That's good.
Thank you.
It was worth it. You should have just changed out the hospital bit. We could have had that about any industry. We would have.
All right, we're going to move on.
It goes back to that emotional part of it, isn't it? In the emotional selling and the emotional experience and the customer relationship. So, most people, even in your personal relationships, you just want people to give you time. So that's really interesting. Okay, I like that.
There we go. Leah's taking it back.
Sold.
Top
tip, because I keep on forgetting the top tips. I think I think for me, I'm gonna go with two. I think one is writing down what are the non-negotiable things of customer experience we want everyone to do. So sales redefined, that I want an onboarding gift for every single client. This is why you should be a sales redefined client, right? But I don't want that to get lost as we scale and grow and new people come on board and you don't realize. I think documenting core fundamentals of the customer experience. And then I think, number two is kind of like looking at some of those little things that don't cost anything, can have an actual really big impact and result. All right. Last but not least, lovely Leah, or as my son says, what my four-year-old son says. Culture is king or queen. Talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what your experience is, but I feel like company culture was always such a bit of a buzzword. It was the warm and fuzzy, not necessarily kind of on the must-have checklist of years past, but now, you know, with the world being an employee's job market, really thinking about your employees' experience, you know, it's more than a nice to have now. You know, it's definitely escalated, especially again, the good old pandemic keeps punching in. The pandemic's actually, you know, driven this much, you know, we can bang on about the pandemic for years now. So, but it's brought, bring it to the forefront. And then I guess, you know, what we're seeing with high performers is, you know, you don't want your high performers, looking elsewhere. So it's about that, as well as you're retaining your accounts and your customers, you want to retain your great high performing staff as well. And sort of, you know, culture now has become a really large part of that. Again, all the young ones, the millennials are coming in. So how do you keep them? And I think, you know, it's more now than you know, beer and cheese on a Friday, or, oh, we've got a foosball table, or, you know, we've put a slide in the office. It's kind of more than that. I think people want more from that. So when we were kind of doing our research around this and, you know, what high performers want in terms of culture, it's around that hybrid work environment. People want the flexibility in life, you know, to have that work-life balance that everyone's realised that we're missing for so long when we're all locked down in our houses. You know, it's the opportunities to grow. It's education piece. It's, you know, feeling like they're valued and that they can contribute. So, again, it's not necessarily the stuff. It's more about the experience for your employees. So I know that I was really lucky before I one or two jumps before Sales Redefined, worked at a great business that from the management level down really invested in culture before it was, you know, kind of like really got to do it. So, you know, made sure teams were integrated together. There was plenty of networking opportunities for everyone to come together as a business and get to know each other better. You know, there were special days put in place. There were bonus structures for values. They've, you know, put in development plans and education, much as we do at Sales Redefined. You know, anything that you want to learn or, you know, read more about or do courses on to kind of hone your skills. So, and it definitely, there was people in the business for 25 plus years because you could see they're retaining that great staff obviously the work, but it was the culture of the business. And yeah, a lot of people are struggling to find, ex-colleagues of mine are struggling to find that same kind of magic that was there because the culture was so strong and it was a real management focus in the business. So yeah, we're definitely seeing that that is driving more culture. People want more culture.
I think what's interesting, bring this back to 2023, is like, why 2023? I think, like Leah said, you know, people are not standing for it. If they're not happy, they're moving. We had the whole great resignation. I think the other thing, so fun fact for you, because I like to bring the fun facts, there's a HubSpot report that said that 67% of sales teams will now this year work under remote or hybrid in 2023. So I think the question about culture becomes, how do you keep culture when everyone's working remotely? I look at us a lot now. Leah's in the Blue Mountains. I'm Northern Beaches. Claire's up in Queensland. And so it's going, how you can't just do the pizza and beers on a Friday or whatever it might be, or the day at the office. It's how do you keep culture when you're all working remotely and finding ways of team building when you're remote, because we're not all in the same office. And then I think the final part of that is, you know, potentially we're going into a challenging year with 2023. If there's recession, there's not recession, whatever, there's a lot of talk about that. And I think that, you know, from a sales lens of this, salespeople want to feel like they have an achievable target. You know, right now, if you're looking down the barrel of a target for next year that just feels completely and utterly unachievable, are you really going to stay and put yourself under that pressure, or are you going to go, yeah, not worth it, I'm going to look elsewhere, because you want to work somewhere where you feel you can be successful, you can win, you can achieve it, and then you can be rewarded accordingly. So I think there's a lot there now around collaboration, team building, culture remotely and into the environment that we're going into under pressure in 2023.
And I think Claire, we do that quite I was just gonna say, I think we do that, as we said, we are all remote. So I think we do it quite well in terms of making sure when we're doing those weekly meetings or our little check-ins, we all make the time to do our normal chit-chats about God knows what, dogs and kids and life. And so we're actually getting that personal connection with each other, sort of that water cooler chit-chat that you would do in the office. But we always make sure we carve the time out of our agenda or our meeting to do that. And then, you know, once 10, 15 minutes has gone past, Abby's like, right, let's get on the agenda and, you know, talk about what we came here for. But I think that's really important. It's such an easy way to build that connection while everyone's remote.
Any additions from you, Claire, on that one?
Yeah, my old friend Mr. Branson said, look after the people and your people will look after your clients. And
absolutely,
it's true. Like, it really, really is true. And it's tough now. Like, it really is a tough, like, to hear that statistic of what it's going to look like next year. Salespeople, not all of them, but a big chunk of them do thrive off that team atmosphere and the celebrations and the commiserations. Not just salespeople, people in general. Like, some of them really need to be around other people. So it's a tougher gig now to find a new way of doing that, but it is crucial. It's really, really important to work out how that can work best. Something that was said on one of your other podcasts, Abby, with Lotus People, was around learning and development was like the top three things that you should be offering. That's what people are looking for now when they're looking for a new role. And I don't know if that was as important many years ago. You know, that when I was listening to it, I was thinking, yeah, that's absolutely right. Like, people want to continue to be challenged in different, you know, some people want whole new roles, some people just want to take on a little bit more responsibility. But you've got to give people the opportunity to work out what it is that they want to do, and that there's a pathway to do that, because the last thing you want to do is make them realize there is nowhere else for them necessarily.
Yeah, you've hit the ceiling. Mm.
And I think that feeds into sort of wrapping that all together. You know, the eight trends are around revenue growth. The culture is not just like we just talked about, the nice thing. It's actually going, actually, if our people are feeling like there's, and Sue Langley and I talk about this in the podcast that's coming out with her shortly, you know, if people feel like there's psychological safety at work, I can achieve, I can perform, I'm being invested in, then we're going to see the revenue growth come from that as well.
Yes.
So, you know, how we're doing that also as a sales strategy, not just because it's the right thing to do, but also as a sales strategy so that we can actually get the most out of your top talent and your people to then drive growth. Well, thank you, ladies. That was a lot of fun. I like how this has been our culture and our team collaboration on a podcast, sharing it with the world.
That is true.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Claire, for great insights for 2023.
Thanks, everybody. That's enjoyable. Now everyone knows how the boring things that you like to read.
Yeah.
So rude. Everybody loves my studies about nurses and whatever else I happen to be reading over the Christmas
holiday. Holding the line and not touching people.
Yeah. Top three tips from the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Forget the other eight. These are the top three for the next year.
So before we let everybody go, a bit of a shout out that we as a Sales Redefined team have been working our little backsides off to launch RevUp. RevUp is our new offering as Sales Redefined. It is our new membership. We are kicking off on the 1st of February, so doors are closed. You will not be allowed in after 31st of January. We are going to, as a cohort, go on a journey, and we are going to learn together the RevUp system. This is all about bringing together your revenue generating teams to learn together and to learn from the best in the business. We have signed up Julie Masters, who specializes in influence. We've signed up Maz Farrelly, who specializes in epic storytelling, packing a punch, standing out from the crowd. Her content has had 8 billion views, which blows my mind. We've signed up Sue Langley, who specializes in neuroscience, emotional intelligence, positive psychology. And what we're going to be doing is getting all of your teams together to learn from these experts once a month on a live masterclass. And after 45 minutes of learning, they will go into a private breakout room just for your teams, where you will be able to debrief and unpack, okay, how are we going to apply what we've learned as a business? How can we take this back into the business and put this into action? So whether you are a very small team or you're a large team, you are all welcome. So the link is in the show notes to go check out RevUp and come and join us. We would absolutely love to have you. So kicking off 1st of February, go check out all the details. And with that, everyone, enjoy your Christmas break and Christmas holiday. And we will see you in 2023.
Stay safe, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to receive the inside scoop on what is working right now in our highest performing campaigns, and likewise, what are the pitfalls to avoid directly to your inbox, then simply visit insidescoop.salesredefined.com.au to make sure that you receive our fortnightly newsletter with everything that you need to know to stay ahead of the pack directly to your inbox. And finally, before you leave us, don't forget to subscribe to Redefining Sales Podcast so that you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed it, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a comment or perhaps share it with a friend or colleague who you know would enjoy it. We'll see you next time.